Iran's leader says that the assassination of General Soleimani was one of the miscalculations the U.S. made regarding Iran and only further strengthened his campaign. Russia rules out any concession to the U.S. in talks on Ukraine. It says it's disappointed over signals from Washington ahead of the negotiations. And Kazakhstan saying that Russian-led peacekeepers are protecting its strategic sites while it's arrested nearly 6,000 people in connection with an ongoing unrest. Top story this hour, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that the U.S. assassination of General Soleimani has only further boosted the very campaign that the anti-terror commander set in motion. The leader said that Washington's miscalculations have resulted in its making wrong decisions, which in turn have led to the failure. He also noted that the U.S.'s profound animosity toward the Islamic Republic emanates from the religious nature of Iran's establishment. According to the leader, tyrants have always been opposed to movements and establishments with a religious foundation. The leader delivered the speech on the anniversary of the 1978 uprising in Iran against the dictatorial rule of the Pahlavi monarch. Well, on that note, I talked to political analyst Mustafa Kushchesh. Listen to him explain how the U.S. power in the region has been on the way since General Soleimani's assassination.
After assassination of Haj Qasem Soleimani, the lieutenant general and anti-terror commander, we have been witnessing a different situation. The number of attacks by the resistant forces on the U.S. troops in the region have, you know, increased, and also the U.S. has started a very confusing withdrawal from this region. The U.S. demise has sped up. We all saw how they exited and escaped, actually, Afghanistan, and the time has arrived for their expulsion from Iraq. The U.S. troops have come under more and more attacks in Iraq, and they have also withdrawn from some bases in Qatar. They withdrew the top echelon of the CENTCOM from Doha, and it's very clear that the U.S. is growingly becoming weaker and weaker each day, and this has been somehow the impact of his of the assassination of Qasem Soleimani.
The Iranian foreign minister says that reaching a good agreement is possible in the Vienna revival talks if the Western side shows necessary goodwill and determination. Hossein Amir Abdullahian noted, Iran has the necessary determination to achieve an agreement on the back of goodwill. He made those comments in a phone conversation with his Indian counterpart. Meantime, Iran's top negotiator says that participants in the Vienna talks are heading forward and making progress. Ali Bagherikani says the differences among the parties are narrowing, and this while the other sides have also voiced optimism about the pace of the negotiations. A short time ago, we're joined by our correspondent, Tamal Ezgi, who gave us the latest about the Iran P4 plus 1 talks in Vienna.
We just had a tweet from the Russian ambassador, Mikhail Olyanov, the main source of the news, mostly from these talks on Twitter. And he said that at the end of today, there's been another, in his words, traditional meeting between the 4+1, the remaining signatories of the JCPOA minus Iran and the U.S. delegation, during which, in the words of Mr. Olyanov, the difficult issue of guarantees of a non-repetition of recent problems, he says, was discussed, and he said that the Russian delegation had presented a number of suggestions in this regard. We know, of course, that the issue of guarantees and verification when it comes to the U.S. sanctions removal is of key importance for the Iranian delegation led by Mr. Bagherikani. Now, going back to the two important issues of guarantees and verification, what Iran has asked for since the beginning of these negotiations, basically to restore the JCPOA, has been that it wants enough guarantees to be able to get an assurance that the U.S. Will not withdraw from the JCPOA again without Iran being able to benefit from the deal effectively. So it says that it will only go back to its commitments after the verified and effective removal of the U.S. sanctions. It wants guarantees that the U.S. will not impose any additional sanctions once the deal is restored that would violate the JCPOA or that would impede its implementation.
Now, Tehran has updated the list of American individuals blacklisted for involvement in the assassination of top General Soleimani and his companions. The foreign ministry announced that it has added 51 American officials to the list. It said that Washington acted in glorification of terrorism and violation of the fundamental human rights by conducting, quote, the callous terrorist act. The ministry vowed that the heinous terrorist act won't diminish the resolute determination of Iran in following up the path of General Soleimani in fighting terrorism. On January 3, 2020, the U.S. assassinated Soleimani and his companions, including Iraqi Commander al-Mohandes, in a drone strike near Baghdad Airport. The political commentator David Yacoubian says that the U.S. assassination of the general was a gross violation of international law.
This was a unilateral, unprovoked attack that constituted a war crime and a gross violation of the United Nations Charter. And this isn't just me saying this. This is from Agnes Callamard, who is the United Nations Special Rapporteur on extrajudicial killings, who in her report was clear about the sheer illegality of this heinous attack. And so, therefore, it's clear justice must be served. And certainly it was important to put the upper crust of the U.S. leadership that was responsible for this heinous attack on notice that justice is going to be served. That would be individuals such as Donald Trump and Bolton and Pompeo. But as we know, the U.S. deep state is quite large, and there are many individuals, as this list of 51 now expanded attests to, who are directly responsible for either the planning of the attack, the organization of the attack, the financing of the attack, and ultimately carrying out the attack. So this list of 51 is a reflection of the, list of those who will need to be called to court or to face justice in some form for the assassination of General Soleimani, Mohandas, and their colleagues.
Now, in other news, the Syrian army intercepting a U.S. military convoy in the Hasaka countryside, that's in the country's northeastern corner, forcing them to retreat. According to Syrian media, the convoy of four armored vehicles was driven out of a village north of the town of Tal Tamer. The U.S. military has stationed troops and equipment in the eastern and northeastern parts of Syria. The Pentagon claims that the deployment is aimed at preventing the oil fields in the area from falling into the hands of Daesh terrorists. The Damascus government, however, says that the unlawful deployment violates Syrian sovereignty and is meant to plunder the country's resources. Now, in the hours ahead, senior diplomats from the U.S. and Russia will be sitting down for talks on issues as straining their bilateral ties. But even before the meeting, both sides are voicing pessimism. Russian envoy Sergei Ryabkov says that he is disappointed by the signals that the U.S. and the EU are sending before the talks in Geneva. He says the United States is insisting on getting unilateral concessions from Russia, but that Moscow will not agree to any such concession. And the U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, says many of Moscow's proposals are simply non-starters. The Kremlin is seeking a new security arrangement with the White House. The dispute over Ukraine will top the agenda. Also, arms control, human rights, and conflicts around the globe will likely be brought up. The talks will be held on Sunday and Monday. A Russia-NATO meeting is scheduled for Wednesday. Now, we've talked to political commentator Marcus Papadopoulos about the upcoming talks between Russia and the U.S., and he says that he welcomes the negotiations, but he believes that Washington's promises would mean nothing in the long run.
The forthcoming meeting between the Americans and the Russians concerning the Ukraine crisis. And I also welcome the reports we have been receiving in the last few days that the Americans may offer the Russians possibility of Washington scaling down NATO's presence in Eastern Europe, which indicates that Russia has, as many of us have said for many years now, a legitimate grievance over NATO's presence in Eastern Europe, which is a gross violation of the NATO-Russia founding treaty of 1997. An American pledge in writing would be welcomed, but in the long term, it would not mean anything. After all, America has violated the NATO-Russia founding treaty of 1997 by positioning NATO forces in Eastern Europe. Secondly, when NATO bombed the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia in 1999, the Americans, who are the de facto leader of NATO, violated Article 1 of NATO's founding treaty, which clearly stipulates that NATO will never use force to resolve a dispute. Mm-hmm. So an American pledge in writing is not worth the paper it's written on.
Well, that was an interesting argument. Now, Kazakhstan's health ministry says that 164 people have been killed in unrest that hit the country this week following protests over a fuel price hike. It says that the majority of the victims lost their lives in the main city, Almaty. It saw some of the fiercest clashes between protesters and security forces. The Kazakh presidency says almost 6,000 people, including foreign nationals, have been arrested in connection with the unrest. The government says that things have now stabilized, but counter-terror operations will continue. Kazakhstan says that Russian-led peacekeepers are now protecting several of its strategic facilities. Some small cities are still witnessing protests. They have continued even after the government resigned and the president restored fuel price caps. The protests against COVID restrictions again hitting Europe amid an explosion in the number of infections there. Well, just in France, some 100,000 people turned out in Paris and other cities to voice their anger. The government's plans to further restrict the unvaccinated are drawing a lot of criticism. Once approved by the Senate, the new law will require everyone above 12 to show vaccine passes while entering a restaurant, using public transport, or attending an event. A negative test will no longer be enough. Similar protests were also held in Italy and Germany. Some countries in Europe have been reporting record infections, mostly blamed on Omicron. France has reported some 300,000 cases. Britain, Italy, and Russia have also witnessed record numbers. While the Omicron variant is spreading like wildfire in many other parts of the world, including in Mexico, the country is reporting more than 30,000 daily COVID infections, the highest since the beginning of the pandemic. The death toll has surpassed 300,000. Mexico is the world's fifth worst country. Experts believe that the figures are even much higher than what the authorities have announced. President López Obrador has acknowledged that a new tide is coming, but ruled out any nationwide restriction. Still, some states have closed the schools again to curb the spread. Jerome Hughes says that there is a great deal of concern regarding the COVID situation in the EU amid an Omicron-driven surge in infections.
There's no doubt, again, we use the word a lot, but there's a great deal of concern here in the European Union. And what the experts are saying is that they anticipate, just like we saw in the middle of January 2021, that in about a week's time, we're going to see a surge. We're going to see the results of large gatherings, people coming together during the holiday period. We saw it 12 months ago, and that's what they're predicting now in 7 days' time. So, you know, the true number of cases, actually, I mean, you talk about in Italy almost 200,000 new cases in a 24-hour period and more than 150,000 in Spain. But the true number of cases, of course, is expected to be much, much higher because different countries in the EU, the 27 countries, they have different capacities in terms of testing. So in terms of people having symptoms and trying to get a PCR test, in some countries it's relatively easy, in some countries it's very difficult. And also the availability of rapid antigen tests are also, that varies greatly across the EU as well, depending on the situation of the pandemic and how it's affecting the population. So, you know, the problem is, of course, Omicron is less deadly, but when you have, you know, the population here, 430 million people, you have almost 150 million adults who have not been vaccinated. But even, you know, with Omicron being less deadly, the more and more people it affects, even a small percentage of a huge number of people means that invariably that hospitals are going to be put under pressure.
Now, Iran has reported 700 new coronavirus infections. That's the lowest number of daily cases in almost 2 years. Some 6 million people have contracted the virus. 24 people died of COVID in the past day, bringing the overall death toll to around 131,000. Iran set another record low on Friday, recording only 19 fatalities, the lowest daily toll also in 2 years. COVID-related figures have been declining in Iran thanks to the country's mass vaccination campaign. 122 million jabs have been administered. That includes more than 60 million people who have received their first dose. 52 million have also received a second dose, while nearly 10 million people have received a booster shot. All right, now over to Brazil, where a big cliff crashing down onto people boating in a lake has caused tragedy. At least 7 people are dead and 9 seriously injured. It happened Saturday in the city of Capitólio in the Minas Gerais state. 3 people remain unaccounted for. Several others feared lost have been located by telephone. Divers have been searching the lake. One of those hurt is in serious condition. There has been heavy rainfall in the region for 2 weeks. And that could have probably caused the rock face to loosen and fall. And that brings to the end of this broadcast from Tehran.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Tell about yourself.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught me the art of life.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 9th, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. tell us which program or programs you like the best. Or if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So don't miss this program and keep us company until the end. Welcome back and greetings to you all again. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports actually enable us in IRIB English Radio to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a report, actually a reception report, will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So, here, I sent my warm appreciations and my deepest gratitudes to those of our listeners around the world who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Henry Omate from the Philippines, Bala Murali from Canada, and Alan Willey from Canada. All of them are old and regular listeners. And here, I sent my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails, including Toshio Shibata from Japan, S. Hasna from India, Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia, Bruce Lee from Australia, and the last but not least in this program, Bill McDavid from the U.S. So many thanks for sending us these emails from around the world. Please stay with us. I will be back, and I will read all these great emails. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. Toshio Shibata from Japan, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Let's see what he says. Hello. Thank you very much for your email. What has changed in 2021 in my life is that I restarted listening to radio. I started listening to international shortwave broadcast at the age of 15. I continued the hobby until I was 30 years old. Unfortunately, I did not know that IRIB had a broadcast in Japanese. I really regret it. By the way, I sent a reception report on IRIB medium wave broadcast on 783 kilohertz and 936 kilohertz. It is added at the end of this email, and I attached two MP3 audio clips. Could you please consider sending me AQSL? Salam and warm greetings to you, Toshio Shibata from Japan. And I thank you for sending us this email. We are so happy that you sent us this email. And for your information, as you requested, of course, IRIB has a Japanese radio. And for getting information about this radio, IRIB Japanese Radio, you can refer to their website at www.parstoday.com/JA. There you can get the information about this radio. And we are so happy that you have followed up this radio through IRIB English Radio. So, you have been listening to shortwave radio broadcasts since you were 15 years old, and that's a long time. Yes, that's such a long time, and that's great. IRB World Service actually has broadcast in different languages, including Japanese and English that you're listening to. So many thanks for writing to IRB English Radio. And as I said, you can follow up the information about Japanese IRB Japanese Radio through the website. Again, I repeat it, parstoday.com/JA. And anyway, Toshi Shibata from Japan, many thanks for writing to IRB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. And from India, we have an email from S. Hasna, one of our regular listeners. S. Hasna from India says, "Dear sir or madam, I am a listener of worldwide radios, shortwave radios for the last 2 years. I used to keep the QSL cards as precious gemstones. Please send me the stickers and booklets and radios for my New Year's gift. I shall be very grateful if you send thanks and regard. Salam and warm greetings to you, S. Hasna from India." I do send my appreciations to you for sending us this email. So, you have a precious collection of radio souvenirs and promotional items, and that's wonderful. Keep up the good work. But for your information, S. Hasna from India, our radio, IRIB English Radio, and many other radio stations around the world used to send their listeners around the world the promotional items and souvenirs, especially at the New Year. Yes, we sent our dear listeners stickers, booklets, magazines, and postcards with Iranian monuments. In the time of the pandemic, of course, we, like many other radio stations, changed the course. And we just sent our dear listeners an EQSL card, an electronic QSL card. Maybe after the time of pandemic, we sent you the promotional items you requested. For the time being, keep up the good work. S. Hasna from India, yes, continue sending us these emails and tell us your views about your English radio programs. Many thanks for sending us this email. S. Hasna from India, write to us soon. So, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Russia, from Vasily Kuznetsov. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. As I said, Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia has sent us an email. This email says, "Dear friends, I was glad to listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on shortwaves. For my opinion, the news program of English service is very good. Also, I should say that your website in both English and Russian languages are very useful. Kind regards. Salam and warm greetings to you, Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia, one of our regular listeners. Thank you very much for writing to IRIB English Radio, your radio. And we're so happy that you let us know your opinion about our broadcast, because you said the news program of English service is very good. We're so happy for that. It seems that you both listen to English and Russian languages of IRIB World Service, and that's great. Many thanks for writing this email to us. Vasily Kuznetsov from Russia, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Write to us soon and let us know your opinions about our broadcast, Vasily. And from Australia, from the Southern Hemisphere, which are actually they're spending their time in the summer. We have an email from one of our regular listeners, Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee from Australia says, "Dear sir or madam, I hope everything has been going well recently. I am a radio enthusiast and live in Australia. I wish to report reception of your broadcasting again. If the details are correct, please verify with a QSL card. If possible, a paper card is more appreciated. Kind regards. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Bruce Lee, from Australia. And I do send my gratitude to you for sending us this email from Australia. You know, Bruce Lee, since sending paper QSL cards and any other material is not possible in the time of the pandemic, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card, an EQSL card, so please accept it from IRIB English Radio, your radio. Bruce Lee from Australia, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. After a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back from the U.S. We have an email from Bill McDavid, one of our old and regular listeners. Bill says, hello, dear friends at IRIB English Radio. My best wishes to you for the new year. I listen to you often presenting the English segment for IRIB Radio. Is it possible for you to send me an EQSL for a reception report? I look forward to hearing from you, and best wishes for the new year to all the listeners around the world. Salam and warm greetings to you, Bill McDavid from the U.S., and we thank you very much for sending us this email. As you may know, we still receive congratulatory messages from around the world, including what we have from Bill McDavid from the U.S., Bill, we wish you and all our listeners around the world all the best in 2022. Peace, joy, health, and good tidings to all of you, dear listeners around the world, on the new year 2022. Bill McDavid from the U.S., my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you. And best wishes for you for the new year. Stay with us, please. Wishing all of you the best in life and especially health. We wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with us and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.passtoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/passtodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Today we're going to be looking at a question that a lot of young people often ask, and that is a question related to yoga. Now, this is a very controversial topic, especially in the West, amongst evangelicals and radical Christians. A lot of people say yoga is anti-Christian. It's something that's been imported from the East, and Christians shouldn't practice it. We want to ask the question in another way. We want to say, is practicing yoga un-Islamic? Or to put it in another way, would practicing yoga be a form of shirk or polytheism? Because, you know, to reinforce the question, we could say that yoga is something that was started within the Hindu tradition. And in fact, yoga is a form of prayer, right? Just like Muslims pray, and in their prayers, in the ritual prayer of Islam, you know, there are certain postures that a human being does. For example, he may prostrate, he gets up, he bends down. You know, he does certain postures. In a similar way, you know, yogis who perform yoga, they make these postures, and there are certain mantras that they recite when they perform yoga. Of course, I'm not an expert in yoga. I don't know all the details of all this, but from the little information that I have at hand, this is something that can be confirmed. So, would be practicing yoga, would it be a form of polytheism? Would it be un-Islamic or not? We can answer this question in this way and say that this depends on, of course, the intention of the person performing the postures that, you know, have been prescribed in yoga. Of course, there are certain things that we can say for sure. For example, if you're practicing yoga with a yoga instructor, and the yoga instructor is, for example, a non-mahram woman, right, and it involves, physical contact with this person or something, then obviously, this would be un-Islamic. Or if somebody is performing yoga, right, and this performance of yoga requires, prostration towards a Hindu idol or something like this. This is definitely, in these cases, this is definitely a form of polytheism and un-Islamic. And then there would be certain haram acts occurring in these cases. But the question that we're concentrating on right now is whether actually performing the stretches in yoga, performing those postures that have been prescribed in yoga, or if these are prohibited or not. Those postures and these kind of things that are prescribed in yoga are simply forms of stretches and of the body. And there's nothing really un-Islamic per se within them if they're not performed with this intention of, uniting with, Brahman or something like that. So this goes back to the whole idea of shirk in Islam. and polytheism in Islam and monotheism in Islam, that it's more than anything, it's a feeling and an intention and a belief. Of course, if yoga today, and it is yoga today, is more than anything, it's looked at as a form of physical well-being and an exercise more than a prayer. So there are certain postures and positions and poses in yoga which are actually prostrations. Now, these are sometimes directed towards certain astronomical bodies like the sun or the moon or things like that. Right now, here we would be entering into a jurisprudential discussion, because a lot of the mujtahids today, a lot of the jurisprudential experts say that prostration to anything besides God, even if it's without the intention of worship, is categorically prohibited. We'll leave this to discussions of jurisprudence, and we recommend our listeners to refer to their respective jurisprudence to find out the answer to this question. Thank you for joining us on The Key. We were looking at yoga and whether it's un-Islamic or not. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Aga, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave radio, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz, every day from 15:20 to 16:20 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 19:20 to 20:20. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767. Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
Former White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham said on Thursday that former President Donald Trump watched the Capitol riot unfold gleefully on 6th of January, proudly rewinding footage of the insurrection on his television. The article you're about to hear has been written by journalist John Skolnick and has been published by the website alternet.org. The piece is titled, Trump's former spokesperson says that he was gleefully rewinding Capitol riot footage on 6th of January. Stay with us for more. Former White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham said on Thursday that former President Donald Trump watched the Capitol riot unfold gleefully on 6th of January, proudly rewinding footage of the insurrection on his television. All I know about that day was that he was in the dining room, gleefully watching on his television, as he often did, look at all of the people fighting for me, hitting rewind, watching it again. That's what I know, Stephanie Grisham told CNN's New Day program. Her remarks, made on the anniversary of the riot, aligned with past reports about Donald Trump apparently glued to the television screen as the riot played out. Last year, Washington Post reporter Carol Lenig said in a CNN interview that the president was in the dining room of the Oval Office during the insurrection, watching it and almost giddy. But Trump's glee was reportedly not unanimous amongst his inner circle, according to recent findings by the House committee charged with investigating the insurrection. Over the past several weeks, the panel unearthed a trove of text messages from numerous Trump allies, including Fox News hosts and members of his own family, pleading with former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to have the president call off the insurgency. He's got to condemn this as soon as possible. The Capitol Police tweet is not enough, Donald Trump's son, Donald Jr., texted Mark Meadows at the time. Donald Trump's son, Don Jr., went on to add, "We need an Oval Office address. He has to leave now. It has gone too far and gotten out of hand." On Wednesday, 5th of January 2022, Stephanie Grisham, who resigned immediately after the riot, met with the January 6th panel to discuss Donald Trump's complicity in the riot, telling reporters that she fully cooperated with the panel's questioning. The meeting was in large part set up by the Select Committee member, Representative Jamie Raskin, a Democrat from Maryland, who reportedly privately called Stephanie Grisham and encouraged her to meet with the committee, according to CNN. Grisham said that the committee was specially interested in the White House's internal activities during the insurrection. On Thursday, 6th of January 2022, Stephanie Grisham said that more than a dozen ex-Trump confidants are planning to stage an intervention with the former president. Next week, a group of former Trump staff are going to come together, administration officials are going to come together, and we're going to talk about how we can formally do some things to try and stop him, and also the extremism, that kind of violence, rhetoric that has been talked about and continues to divide our country, Stephanie Grisham told CNN's New Day. Stephanie Grisham said that about 15 of her former colleagues are involved in the scheme, some of whom have already had informal chats about it, according to CNN. Among them include White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci, Miles Taylor, a former top Department of Homeland Security official, and Olivia Troy, an ex-advisor to former Vice President Mike Pence. Meanwhile, Select Committee member Representative Jamie Raskin, a Democrat from Maryland, has promised that the American people will be stunned when the House Select Committee on the attack delivers its report. America is going to be shocked and surprised at what we all come to learn this year, Congressman Jamie Raskin told CNN on Thursday night, 6th of January 2022, exactly 1 year after the violent and deadly insurrection at the Capitol. He also said that Stephanie Grisham gave him a lot of names I had not heard before and identified some lines of inquiry that had never occurred to me prior to her Wednesday interview with the committee. Separately, Stephanie Grisham on Thursday revealed she and more than a dozen of other former Trump officials are meeting next week to discuss how to stop the former President Donald Trump from succeeding in his attempt to destroy democracy and to get re-elected. Just listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In many traditions we have been told that be careful with who you sit with, be careful where you sit, and so on and so forth. We have these type of traditions. But it's also the gathering of where certain things have, or rather will be mentioned, or certain things are being discussed that have been recommended by us to attend. And we can see, for example, that during the month of Muharram, we spoke about the gatherings in the remembrance of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. That those are gatherings that, you know, a person should attend. A person should strive to attend those type of gatherings. Because it is those type of gatherings that take a person towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by enabling a person to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering those who are the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hussain alayhi salam being of, or definitely of those who are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this tradition from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, we see another type of majlis or another type of gathering that the Imam alayhi salam advises us to attend. And obviously here we understand that it is not just the attendance, but it is what a person will gain from it. Whereas in the majlis of dhikr, or in the majlis of musibah, and where the atrocities that have been done to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are mentioned, a person gets that emotional attachment to the Ahlul Bayt, the remembrance of them, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this one, it is the same, but in a deeper level, because that is very in your face kind of thing. But Imam Ali alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, says that the gathering of ilm, majlisul ilm, or a gathering where ilm and true knowledge is being discussed, like true knowledge. This is also important to understand. What the Imam is saying is ilm, is that ilm that will take a person towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the knowledge of deen, the knowledge of, you know, perfection, and so on and so forth. That type of gathering is what is a garden, is a rawdatul jannah, is a garden of paradise. Why? Because paradise, if you look at it in the terms of the philosophers, is nothing but the extent of a person's knowledge. Again, this needs a lot of explanation, just accept from. So a person's understanding and ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it increases in that particular gathering, the knowledge that increases in the person, his existence increases, therefore that absolute essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to him, and obviously that capability of him to enter into paradise or to create the paradise for himself is expanded. And again, paying attention to what the Imam means by ilm. Not any ilm, but that ilm that will enable you to get a connection between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.